Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
So we're beginning today a seven-week series that takes us right up to Christmas, and the series title is History, His Story. Turn to your neighbor and say, His Story. Now, there's something about story that is powerful and life-changing. I mean, who does not love a good story? Everybody loves a good story. That's why Hollywood makes movies. That's why novels sell. We love stories. Well, this seven-week series, we're going to be looking at his story by looking at many of y'all's story. And so for 7 weeks, we're going to have the bulk of the teaching time given over to folks predominantly from this church, from this congregation, telling their story, how God has impacted their lives. We got a whole bunch of things planned, different venues. There will be a panel of businessmen one day. There'll be a bunch of kids being interviewed one day. We have, I'm sorry if you don't like this word, Life Sucks Sunday, where people are going to get up here and share their story, how God is teaching them, growing them, ministering to them in the midst of the crappiness of life. We have Redemption Sunday. People are going to tell their stories of how God brought redemption. We've got all kinds of things planned in many different venues for 7 weeks. So to get at that biblically, before we jump into his story by telling y'all's story today, we're going to go to the book of Revelation. That's on page 1235, if you have your paper Bibles here. And the story in Revelation 12, what's going on in Revelation 12 is there's a prophetic kind of story-type imagery of what happens when God and Jesus God and Satan collide. So in the story in Revelation 12, there's a dragon, big and bad, that is trying to chase down this woman who's in the desert giving birth to a son. This is actually Mary and Jesus in the prophetic imagery. And the woman and the son, they disappear. And so the dragon turns and begins to fight with the angels that have protected this woman and her son. And the dragon was beat and it was thrown down. This is a prophetic image of what will happen when the world ends and time is done, when Satan is bound and all things evil and all kingdom of darkness is thrown away. I'm going to say there is a day when the kingdom of darkness will fall, when all evil will end. And here in Revelation 12, we see an image of the serpent or the great dragon being thrown down and being defeated. Now, I want to tell you, the Bible gives us very clearly the how the dragon was defeated. The dragon was defeated, Revelation 12, verse 11. They triumphed over him. The him here is that dragon that seemed insurmountable, unbeatable, unbelievably powerful, kind of like the junk in your life sometimes, right? I mean, how many of you have had junk in your life? Anybody have junk in your life that feels like it's never going to be beaten? Well, it's like the dragon that was beaten. It will be beaten someday. That dragon was beaten. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. So part A there, it's about Jesus, right? This is why this is a Jesus-centered church. We respect all faiths, we respect all people, but we uphold the name of Jesus because we believe freedom only comes from what Jesus did on the cross and coming out of the empty tomb. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, it's about Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus really likes you. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's part A, but you want to know what part B is right there in Revelation 12? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The Bible says that in part, the kingdom of darkness will be defeated by their testimony. That is to say, when God's people tell their story of how God worked, the kingdom of darkness will fall. I'm going to say that again because some of you are still making your way in over here. I'm saying that when God's people tell their story, the work of the kingdom of darkness and evil things will be defeated and will fall because people tell their story. Do you hear this? And so we're going to watch four stories today from four different people, a part of this congregation. Each story is a video that is incredibly well done, about 5 minutes each. So sit back, enjoy the teaching through his story as you hear their story. And I'm telling you, I think some of you are going to have your freedom break loose when you see their story. Some of you are going to have your prison broken when you see their story. And so without any further ado, his story.
So when I was younger, I enjoyed dirt bike riding quite a bit. And I'd take these trips and go up north and go trail riding with guys. And one particular visit up north, we were on some single track trails in Manistee. It's hard to describe the adrenaline you get from riding fast like that in unknown, uncharted, you know, territory. You're going through in and out of trees, hitting jumps, and just going flat out, you know. So I was riding with a group of guys that were quite a bit more seasoned than I was. And on top of that, I was riding a bike that was too big for me, and I hit a tree. I can remember laying there on my back and kind of hearing my bike off in the distance and hearing the guys roll up to come and see what happened. Things were different after that. So I separated my pelvis, and the doctor told me I would probably have chronic lower back pain for the rest of my life, and that was it. It was done from there. Over. From that point on, it was serious. Things were different. You know, people take for granted that don't have back pain. You don't get up out of a chair the same way. Your life's just changed, and for a young man, you know, it starts to take a toll on you. You don't want to be around people as much as you used to, I guess. My perception of healing was just something that didn't seem like it was available to me or to anybody. I'd read about it and heard about it, but I never really thought that it was anything that was possible for me at church. It was something that never really occurred to me that could happen to just anybody. So one Sunday, Rob asked people with back pain to stand up for prayer. I remember just being compelled to stand up. I'd never really done that before. And he prayed on it, and I sat back down. The rest of the service went on. There wasn't any immediate warm effect or any indication that I'd been healed, but some strange things started to happen that week. You know, I didn't feel quite as sore and stiff as I had before. I just heard that voice in my head just say, stop acting like you're in pain. So I can remember specifically getting up out of that chair as if I didn't have any stiffness or soreness, and just walking, standing straight up, not just sort of gone or a lot better, no indication of any pain, nothing, as if it never happened. The pain was completely gone. So when you're healed like that, and there's no doubt in your mind that that was a healing, because it wasn't coincidence, and it didn't make sense that it would be anything other than you were absolutely healed. It makes you thirst for more of that. You wanna be a part of that, and praying for other people and hearing other people's stories, it inspires you. It literally sets you on fire to want to do that, to want to go and pray for people and see their reaction when they see how that comes to pass in their lives, whether it's physical pain, spiritual pain, or whatever it is. So first and third Wednesday of every month, I go and buy a couple cases of water and load it up in a cooler and put it in the back of my truck and drive over to the north side and lug that heavy thing out of the back of my truck and start passing out water. There's people that want to see you and want to be prayed for, and then there's people that'll pretend that they don't see you. And if you walk up with a bottle of water and tap on their window and they're sitting in their car, they will not turn down a bottle of water. And half the time, more than half the time, they won't turn down prayer either. I can remember praying for a guy one time. He wanted a job. And the next week I saw him, and as he was walking by, I said, is there anything I can pray for you about? And he laughed. He said, you prayed for me to get a job last week, and I got a job. And that was it. So it's very inspiring. I've seen many, many people be changed, forever changed by prayer, forever changed by an encounter with God. and sometimes you see them again, and sometimes you don't, but you hear their stories. They come back, you can tell by the look in their eye, they're not making it up. Something happened. They were moved, and it makes you want more of it. I'm Tinsley Nelson, and I was healed by Jesus.
My party went on long after the party stopped. Just living in complete isolation. I'd wake up and my day would start where my night left off. A lot of times just trying to escape what I'd done the night before and run from that. Just kind of watching the world go by outside while I was just kind of suffering in my own little hell. I'd try to go out and try to go to parties with friends and stuff, but by the time they'd get there to pick me up, I'd just be too far gone. I couldn't even make it out by 6 o'clock at night. In high school, I got sent out to Idaho for a little over a year, and had maintained the whole time that I was going to leave on my 18th birthday and I was going to walk off the hill, as they called it. And I did that and got on a Greyhound to come home. And, I had been making a plan the entire time. I told him the whole time, I'm not going to quit doing drugs. I'm not going to quit drinking. This is me. I'll find a way to live with it. And I remember being in a enclosure around a dumpster at Union Station in Chicago at probably 4 o'clock in the morning with some random drug dealer. I remember doing drugs off the lid of the dumpster with him and having absolutely no money in my pocket to pay him, and not, knowing the whole time that my family's waiting at home. They're waiting for me to get home and get off this bus and see them, and I'm blowing coke, risking my life with somebody I don't even know. All for what? Why? And it affected every single action I made, Everything I did was reckless and over the top. I didn't have any hope. I was completely out of hope that I would be free of it. I couldn't imagine my life without drugs and alcohol. It had become so much a part of me that I believed that it was something that would always be there, and I couldn't imagine living a life without it. I mean, my family was pretty well crushed for 10 years. It affected every part of my family, every part of my sister's lives. The looks on their faces are what stay with me. That's what I remember. That look of defeat, like they had finally reached a point where they had to give up and let go of their son. Yet they wouldn't. They never did. I'd fall on my face on my mom's floor and I'd say, "Let's pray together, let's pray, Mom." And I'd just pray the whole time that, "Jesus, just take this from me. You know I believe in you. You know that you can take this. I believe you can take this, and take it." But I was never willing to do anything. I thought I would wake up one morning and be free of drugs and alcohol. I never thought I would have to put any action towards the solution, towards meeting God halfway, towards building a relationship with God. I never thought that was a part of it. I didn't understand that piece, and that was vital for me to understand that piece, because that's what brought freedom. As soon as I started to feel that presence come in, I wanted more and more and more. I still struggle with a lot of stuff, and I think I always will, but the desire to know God on a deeper level every day, and just to keep progressing in that relationship and not stay still, is what I believe cultivates that freedom that remains in my life. Our family is totally different today. Their forgiveness and the relationship that's kind of sprung up out of the ashes of my stupid decisions, that might be the most mind-blowing part of all of it to me, is the way that he's just brought complete redemption and restoration and and made something out of nothing. You know, I firmly believe that I wouldn't be where I am without them and without their prayers. I never thought that I would be free from this. My name's Nate Nofsinger. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol for 10 years. I've been sober for 3 years through a relationship with Jesus. I'm free. And my family is free from me.
I'm Nikki Meir, and I love to move. Dance for me was connected for years to class and choreography and extracurricular activity. But through that, I would describe it as a pull from inside, maybe I say from the Holy Spirit, there's actually a need to move, sometimes an uncontrollable type feeling to move my body. And it's a way of expressing. I think if I was better with words, it would be writing poetry, or if I was a singer, it would be releasing that energy out of my mouth through song. But I have that feeling within the form that is my body, whatever that surge of energy is that comes through when I'm connected to words, or that it needs to be released through the shell of my body. When I enrolled my daughter in her first dance class, it was an awesome experience to be on the other end, having danced my whole life since I was 3, to now be sitting in an auditorium watching my child on stage dancing. Was awesome, nerve-wracking and awesome and exciting. And I thought, I want to do this. I want to teach her. I want to be involved in how she learns this art form that's so close to my heart. And I want to do that for not just her, but for other children as well. I didn't think about creating a specific Christian aspect to Elevation. I thought about creating a place where the purity and the innocence of children can learn an art form that I love in all ways, to its fullest extent, in an excellent way, and bring honor and glory to Him. And I believe that that is part of kingdom work, is taking what we've been giving, which is our anatomy, our body. I believe the feeling of movement and the urge to move inside is also from God, is an expression of worship. So there's no reason why those two things can't come together and bring glory to God, whether it's always to Christian music or not. Having the ability as an instructor to not only teach a craft, but to build up and help hone confidence in a group of children is a blessing to me, and it is something that I don't take lightly. And I can see fruit from when you see a child believe that they can do something and they can do it well, and to hear that affirmation from an adult in their life is a great thing to be able to offer. And I think if you're going to pour into anything in this world, the next generation is worth pouring into. When I think about kingdom impact, I think about the fact that I am so certain of God's love for me and God's love for you and God's love for this world. And I am filled because of that love with such assurance of my salvation that I am allowed in that the freedom to rest in His hands and not question that. If knowing that love and being assured of my salvation was all there was, He would call me home, and He hasn't. And so I think as many days as he gives me on this earth, it's to do this work and to love those people around me. It only seems natural to use the skills that he's given me in order to express that love. So I think when I think of kingdom work, I think of essentially just loving the people around me well, out of thankfulness for the love that I feel and know. In my life, it happens to be in this area through dance.
Prior to me coming to the river, my life had been shattered, completely broken in all areas. My relationships with my family and my children was broken. I was homeless and jobless and unemployable. Things had gotten really rough. I had become hopeless. I did not have a will to live. I thought that there was no way out of the misery that I was living in. I thought that there was no way to recover my life as it had once been successful. I thought there was no way to regain it. I did very large amounts and of hardcore narcotics, and then of course along with that came the alcohol. Eventually reached a point where I was drinking every day. I had to have alcohol in order to function. And that completely took over my life. And eventually my family wanted nothing to do with me. They didn't want me in their lives. And anybody else I had, friends and co-workers or anything like that, I pushed them away. I was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. And spent 90 days in jail. During the course of that jail term, one of the other inmates and I became familiar with each other. We started telling each other our stories and where we were at in life. I had been praying that I could get my hands on a Bible while I was in jail. And they're not always readily available. And while there, this particular individual had received a Bible that had been mailed to him, and actually in the package there were two Bibles. And I had literally prayed for God. I'm like, you've got to drop something in my lap because I'm from the school of hard knocks. And so this individual came to me and he says, would you like to have this Bible? My grandmother sent me an extra one. So he gives me the Bible, and that was just like this sign of like, wow. I mean, it was literally the same day that I had been praying for God to provide me a Bible with that he puts one in my hands. And I had asked God in part of my prayer that you got to put it in black and white for me because I just don't get what's going wrong with my life. And there it was. It was in the Bible. It was black and white. I had the motivation at that time to dig deeper into God's Word and to find more meaning, because I felt that my life was meaningless. I felt that I was a terrible person and that there was no hope for me. So I get out of jail, I start attending the river. My walk with Christ became much closer and much more regular. Between 2011 and 2013, there was a couple slips with alcohol, a couple slips with depression. So upon that time, I went to the hospital and I entered myself into a rehabilitation to detox. And at that point in time, I decided that I had to make a change. Either I was gonna die or I had to try something new. And in that process, I rededicated my life to Christ. I started reading His Word daily. I started talking with Him daily. He is real, He is live, He is in my life, He is in me. And I surrendered. I surrendered my will to God. I ask Him every day when I wake up to take my will from me and that His will be done in my life. And God is restoring my life. I can't even find the words to describe the gratitude that I have. He is restoring relationships with my siblings. He has already restored my relationships with my two sons who wouldn't even talk to me. He's blessed me with a beautiful grandson. He has blessed me with awesome people in my life. The people that attend the river, the people that work at the river have embraced me and accepted me unconditionally. And I can't describe the smile that's on my face right now, because it's when you're wanting to die and you have no hope and you feel like you're a terrible person. And then today I can see in my life, not only am I appreciated, but that I am reaching out to others who are suffering, other people who feel hopeless, other people who just feel like life is impossible. I can share my message with them and let them know that God loves us, He forgives us, and when we seek God, He will restore us. That feeling that it gives me, I feel like I have a purpose today. I feel like God is showing me His purpose, and maybe it has been. Maybe all that suffering has been the reason so I can reach out and help other people, and that God has kept me alive, because my purpose when I wake up every day is to, how can I help somebody else? God gave me that passion, and through His love for me and His mercy by saving my life and restoring my life, I can be an example to other people. My name is Brian Hamilton, and today I have hope.
His story, it's about healing. His story, it's about freedom. His story, it's about purpose. His story, it's about hope. And He, the one who created the world with a breath, the one who redeemed the world with His death, the one who sustains the world with His Spirit, He is inviting you into His story.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.